91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Stand by for the Topical Currents History Quiz with historian Dr. Paul George. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We hold the quiz several times a year. Many listeners look forward to them. Dr. George and I, and Bonnie as well, ask questions about South Florida, from events, personalities, and politics, to sports, entertainment, and folklore. Phone in a correct answer, and in turn, ask a question of us. Here's typical material. What northern city had the most influence on Miami's development? It was Cleveland, home of both Henry Flagler and Julia Tuttle, and so on. 800-743-9576 for your calls. Topical Currents and the History Quiz up next, after the news.
Welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
It's History Quiz Day.
Yes, it is our South Florida History Quiz program. We're joined in the studio by historian Dr. Paul George of Miami-Dade College and History Miami. Welcome.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to be here.
Now, we'll have the first question in just a moment, but first the guidelines. Dr. George and Joe pose wide-ranging questions. I might have a couple about our region's history, personalities, geography, politics, crime, or sports.
Now, okay, if you know the answer, or you think you do, give us a call. And if your answer is correct, again, if your answer is correct, you may in turn ask a question of your own.
However, if your answer is wrong, please clear the line for other callers to use it.
Be a good sport.
Yes, this is important as well. Please don't call with freelance, non-quiz-related questions for Dr. George. So, our phone number, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. And please, we aren't taking emails for this program. So, I'll be keeping track of the questions asked and answered. So now it's Dr. Paul George and the first history quiz question.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm going to go to question 12. Who was the prominent early Miamian who developed a beautiful historic Spring Garden neighborhood? And I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint. The name is still prominent in Miami.
Where is Spring Garden?
It's hard by the north bank of the Miami River between a canal around 7th Avenue and Northwest 12th Avenue, north to 11th Street, where that big Winn-Dixie is.
Okay. All right. Now, I'll do my number five, Bonnie. Juan Ponce de Leon was the first European to discover Key Biscayne. That was in 1513. He was looking for the Fountain of Youth, supposedly, and he claimed it for Spain, the Key Biscayne. What did he name it? What was Ponce de Leon's name for Key Biscayne in 1513.
Okay, so maybe we need to ask more questions.
Give out the number again.
1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. So we're looking for the name that Ponce de Leon gave to Key Biscayne in 1513, and the name of the man who developed the neighborhood of Spring Garden.
In the city of Miami. So let's go with Paul again.
Okay,
I want to go to question one. The oldest home on its original site in Greater Miami. What's the name of the home? Where is it located within the city of Miami?
Does that mean there's a home that's older not on its original site?
It does.
I can think of two of them.
Yeah, you certainly can. This is a home that has never moved from its original site, okay, and it's well over 100 years of age.
Okay, the number again is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Joe, you want to ask another?
Okay, number 11 will come up from 1513 to modern times. Name the Fort Lauderdale resident who was a Miss Florida title winner. And she played on the TV series Matlock, of course, with the late Andy Griffith, Fort Lauderdale resident, a former Miss Florida title winner, and also on the series Matlock, what was her name, number 11.
Wow, these are tough questions.
All right, I've got one caller. If you want to join in, it's 800-743-9576. And our first caller for the history quiz is from Coconut Creek. Her name is Susan. Hey there. Susan.
Yes, hi. I'm here.
Go ahead.
The birds are singing.
Well, I could, I'm only trying to answer one, and that is the question about Ponte de Leon and what he named the day this came, and I think that was Boca Raton.
No, we're looking for what he named Key Biscayne.
Not the bay.
Oh, eek. And it wasn't Vizcaya.
No.
All right.
Good try.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
We
Bye.
Appreciate your
Have
call.
Fun.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we'll move along to Juan in Miami. Hey, Juan. Juan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Which question would you like to answer?
Juan Ponce de Leon gave Key Biscayne when he first came to Florida. It was Cabo de Florida, which translates something like Florida Cape or something like that.
Well, no, that's not quite right, and Paul George agrees. But good try.
So it's not that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Again, our number, 800-743-9576. Paul, why don't you add one more to the mix?
Be happy to. Question two. This Philadelphia heavyweight was draining the wetlands of Central Florida long before Everglades drainage
began. You're not talking about Joe Frazier, are you?
Yeah. That's what I thought when I
Oh, my gosh. Long before Everglades drainage began in 1906. Please name him. And it's not Joe Frazier. That's great.
Not Muhammad Ali either.
No.
Okay, so let's do the questions. We have the oldest home on its original site in Greater Miami. We have the Philadelphia heavyweight draining the wetlands of Central Florida before the Everglades drainage began in 1906. We have the name that Ponce de Leon gave Key Biscayne in 1513. And the Fort Lauderdale resident who was a Miss Florida title winner and played on the TV series Matlock with the late Andy Griffith.
That should be pretty easy.
Okay.
I'll add one more, my number six.
Okay.
And that's my number six. Many people pass through the doors of the Joseph Caleb Community Resource Center in Liberty City. There are many artistic presentations, training programs, and government offices there. Also, there's a traffic court in the Caleb Center. And who was Joseph Caleb? Who was the Caleb Center named for? 1-800-743-9576. And we'll move along to Marta in Miami. Hi there.
Hi. I'm calling with a hopeful good answer to number 11. I'm thinking Anita Bryant.
Good no. guess, but not quite.
That's who I thought it was, Marta.
Oh, okay.
You may also remember her if you've been around for a while. She did a million of the Waterbed City TV commercials on local TV. So there's another a small hint.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for trying.
Thank you.
Can't think of the other name. I appreciate your time.
Okay. And we have Alan in Miami Springs. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Excellent. I was calling regarding the Miami the Spring Garden question. I believe there was two that settled that area. One was William Wagner, which is a creek whose the name that runs along the east side of Spring Garden, or Siebel.
All right.
Well, you got to pick one of them.
Oh,
okay. William Wagner, then.
Well,
you should have tried a lifeline.
You should have tried the other.
Well, it's two of them. One settled, and then the other one brought the waves of investment to the area.
Well, we'll give him that.
Settled. Yeah, we got to give it to him. I'm very impressed with your knowledge of Wagner being there that far back. Did you go on my tour yesterday of Spring Garden?
Well, I used to live there, so I kind of know the area, and okay. I sold some real estate around, so that was part of my pitch.
Well, that's impressive.
And do you have a question for us?
Oh, no, not really. Okay. Wanted to call and give my two cents.
Thank Remember, you. If you do answer a question correctly, then you can ask a question of us. And we'll go to Kathy in Miami. Hi there. Kathy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay. Kathy from Miami. And the section number one, oldest home that hasn't moved, Coral Castle.
No, actually, Coral Castle was built at the end of the 1910s in a little place called Longwood, and somehow this guy, Ed Liskelin, who weighed 110 pounds soaking wet, moved that thing over to the edge of U.S. 1 and Homestead, and we don't know how he did it in the stealth of night. But good try, but that's not the answer.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks. And we move along to David in Miami. Go ahead.
Yes, I like to answer the Ponce de León question.
Okay.
Yeah, was it Santa Marta?
Very good.
Yes.
You got it.
Yes. And I'm actually a student from Dr. Paul George.
Oh.
Just wanted to say hi to him.
That's terrific.
Okay, and my question for you guys is, when was the last time a Cuban official was in Miami?
You mean officially or unofficially?
I don't know.
Boy.
Well, likely officially, it was at the outset of the 1960s, right before we broke relations with Cuba, which was at the end of 1960, beginning of 61. But unofficially, who knows?
Okay.
So that'd be my shot.
So what's the answer?
No, he was just he answered.
Oh,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to know the answer to the question that you asked, though.
But
oh.
But he's a student of mine, so I'm sure he's very savvy about this.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. And next up, it's Sam in Plantation. Hi there.
Hi. Waterbed City Matlock Lady with Nancy Stafford. Her brother was a state legislator.
Yeah, you got it. Very good.
Okay.
Do you have a question for us, Sam?
Yes. My question is, there is a Howard McMillan Middle School. Who is Howard McMillan?
Oh, Sam, I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. I don't know.
Well, there's two things about him. He was an assistant superintendent of schools that died far too young. He was also my sixth grade teacher at Shenandoah Elementary.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a heck of a thing. And it's interesting because one of my many Little Havana walk tours through History of Miami and Cultural Friday goes right past Shenandoah Elementary. Well, now I'll know forevermore. How about that, Sam?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for
thank
calling,
you.
Sam.
Bye. Bye.
It's the South Florida History Quiz with Dr. Paul George and Joseph Cooper. We're going to take a short break. Just a heads up, by the way, Richard's really busy on those phones, which is 1-800-743-9576. So just be patient so he can answer your call.
And when you get on the air, get right to your question.
Yes, Joe. We'll be right back. And we're back with our South Florida History Quiz. Bonnie Berman asking the questions, Dr. Paul George and Joseph Cooper.
Do you want to ask yours now, Bonnie?
Well, first let's go over what's on the table. We have from Dr. George the oldest home on its original site in Greater Miami. We have the Philadelphia Heavyweight draining the wetlands of Central Florida long before the Everglades drainage began. And for Joe, we have who was Joseph Caleb.
Of the Caleb Center.
Okay, I'll ask mine. This artist was such a bad singer that he started his own rock band just so they could play his songs. He wrote one of his most famous songs in Key West, where he also died. Who is he? And I'll give you a hint. His first professional job was drawing cartoons for Playboy magazine, which he did for 2 decades. Okay.
Well, you start out with Playboy. That's pretty...
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, it was when Playboy first started.
Okay, we'll go back to our phones. Let's see, we have calls in from Patricia and Steve. Both of you, the questions that you're signed up for, we've gotten. The Ponce de Leon question was Santa Marta, and also the Matlock, the co-star with Andy Griffith, was Nancy Stafford. If you want to hold on for another question, you can do so. Otherwise, please free up that line so we can get other callers in. So we move along to Mickey. Mickey in Midtown, I guess Midtown, Miami. Hi.
Hi. I think I know what the oldest house is.
Yes?
The Barnacle.
Very good, very Mickey. Good. On its original site, about 18 feet above sea level. That's where you want to be in about 50 years.
So you have the Spanish Monastery, then you have the Fort Dallas.
You do, and you also have the William Wagger Homestead House, which is in Lummis Park, built between 1858 and 1860.
What an encyclopedia.
Really?
Okay, Mickey, do you have a question for us?
No, I don't have a question. I just I enjoy your program. Fantastic. Always good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey.
All right. Take
okay,
care.
And Mark, line two, who drained the Everglades? That's not a question that's on the board right now. Please don't call in with...
The Philadelphia heavyweight.
Yeah. That did the Central Florida
draining.
Okay,
before the Everglades,
right.
He really didn't do it. Okay, Mark in Miami, you're up. Hi.
Okay, hi, it's Mark, and that would be Hamilton Diston.
Very good,
right.
Mark.
And so they were famous for manufacturing saws.
They certainly were out of Philadelphia, and he was also a major part of that Republican machine that dominated the politics of Philadelphia for a generation plus.
And he also paid the state of Florida $4 million, basically took over their debt and purchased that.
Boy, you're at the top of your game today. Now, one thing I want to disabuse everybody of, he did not commit suicide in his bathtub, as the conventional story was.
You mean he didn't commit suicide he didn't do it in his bathtub?
No, he didn't commit suicide. He went to the opera one night and never woke up the next morning, and it was a natural death cause. Hmm.
Mark, do you have a question for them?
No, not really. I just wanted to... I knew about Hamilton Diston draining the Everglades. I also know he went broke doing that. Anyway, it's a great show. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576.
We need questions.
I only have one out, right?
You only have one, and
Caleb.
Paul only has zero.
Okay, something pretty easy here, because we're in our political season. Boy, are we.
What number?
Name the Miami Herald reporter who disguised himself in jogging clothes in 1987 to take on the challenge of then-presidential candidate Gary Hart to, quote, follow me around, it'll be boring. Of course, the expose about Donna Rice and the monkey business boat made journalism history. Who is the Miami Herald reporter, then reporter, who broke that story? That's number 10, Bonnie.
Okay, and you want to ask another one?
Another one. How about the fourth busiest nautical port in Florida? The fourth busiest port, nautical port in Florida.
Okay, Paul, you want to put another one
in? I'd be happy to. Name the author who used Fort Lauderdale Beach and the surrounding area as the venue for his mystery stories. Number three.
Okay. That's a very well-known name, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll try George in Miami. Go ahead, George.
Yes, hi. Joseph Caleb, as I remember, was a labor leader and organizer. I think he was a longshoreman at the Port of Miami.
He definitely was involved in the labor movement from a leadership standpoint. Anything else about him that you know?
No.
You're correct. That's what the Caleb Center is named after, Joseph Caleb. But he was murdered in 1972 in a parking lot ambush. And whether his death was union-related remains a mystery, and the case is officially closed. But good job to get that, George. How'd you know that?
Oh, I worked for the county, and Joseph Caleb Center is in our, they were always talking about something going on there, and
yeah,
you knew who he was.
Do you have a question?
No, I don't, and I'm having fun learning more about my state and my city.
Very good, George. Very good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, let's see. First come, first serve. Line 12, Steve, we did get the Matlock question. If you stay on the line, I'll get to you in a few minutes. Line 3, we've got Tom in Miami. Hi there.
Hi, Joseph. Got the answer for Bonnie's question about the rock band, the guy who was the cartoonist for Playboy magazine.
You did?
Shel Silverstein.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Paul, hit it. I didn't think anybody was going to get it. Thank you, Michael Stock, for that. Really, it wasn't really my question.
I had a question. If it's okay to put out there for
yes,
anybody.
Yes, but before you do, do you know what he wrote? This was his most famous, another of his famous songs that Johnny Cash recorded.
A Boy Named Sue.
Oh boy, top of your game.
And the cover of the Rolling Stone for Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Well, my daddy
wow.
Prolific guy, yeah.
I was three and he didn't leave much.
You really know.
Just yeah. This old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Okay, what's your question now?
Okay, this is not going back that far, but I was a student at Miami-Dade New World Center, so I remember when they did it. When they built Phase 2, the second building there where the bookstore is, there had been an old famous, probably from the early 20s, landmark there that they knocked down, and the preservationists wanted to save the Dade County pine, all the wood that was in that, and they only moved a few blocks away from there, so I'm kind of maybe giving it away, but what was the famous old building or institution that was there?
It was Trinity Methodist Church. The congregation was founded in 1897, and that building went up soon after.
Yeah, the Dade County Pine. You know, I think they'd had the sign. It was First United Methodist Church, and they moved over onto Biscayne and Fifth
right.
near Bayside. You got it, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Tom, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
And thank you.
Thanks, Michael Stock. And just for the record, he was a poet, singer-songwriter, cartoonist, screenwriter, and acclaimed author of children's books, Shel Silverstein. Okay.
Okay. Frank in Fort Lauderdale, we got the drainage question. That was Hamilton Diston. If you want to stay on the line, I'll try and get to you. Janet in Coral Gables, we're going to turn to you. Janet, go ahead.
Yes. Is it Tom Fiedler?
Yes.
Very good.
You got that.
Yeah. I have a question. It's really a restaurant question, and I don't know the answer, but there was a restaurant in North Miami, an Italian restaurant, maybe off 125th Avenue, possibly in an old house or building.
Marcella's.
Was it Marcella's?
And the other one would have been Mario the Baker, which opened in
1968. No, not Mario the Baker.
It was probably Marcella's, which was the most famous Italian restaurant a half a century ago in that area.
In an old house or something.
Half a century ago, I'm not that old.
Well, it opened sometime in the 50s, 60s, but it was on until at least the 70s or so. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, Joe, the only question you have out is the fourth busiest nautical port in Florida. And the only question you have, Paul, is mm-hmm. the author that used Fort Lauderdale Beach and the surrounding area for the venue for his mystery stories. So you both need more questions.
Okay, we have three callers who have your questions answered. So we've already gotten that. Chris, Clay, or Tom. And it's what's his name again?
Shel Silverstein.
Silverstein. So if you want to hang on for another question, you're free to do so. Let me give out the number. I'm 1-800-743-9576. And a short other question, how about, besides the United States, and especially in Florida and Louisiana, the alligator is native to only one other country. What's the only other country that is the denizen of is the alligator a denizen of? Or no, the denizen is the place. No, the resident.
Right.
Okay, we'll say resident.
Okay, so besides the U.S. and especially Florida and Louisiana, the alligator is native to only one other country, and named the fourth busiest nautical port in Florida. And Paul, you need another question.
Yes. Question four, name the small Broward city that for a time was known for its annual tomato festival.
Okay, while you mull those over, we're going to take a short break. It's the South Florida History Quiz. Dr. Paul George, Joseph Cooper, we'll be right back.
Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are. Well, we're big
rock singers. We got golden fingers and we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we never know is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
I bet that hasn't been played on radio in a couple of decades.
At least.
At least.
All right.
Okay, so that was written by Shel Silverstein. And the funny thing is, I thought it was going to be a shtick, and I thought that nobody would get that question, and it was Michael's to begin with. And not only did they get it, but they got it quickly.
How about an update?
Okay, an update. We have two questions out from you, Joe, the fourth busiest nautical port in Florida. And we have, besides the U.S., the alligator is native to only one other country. And Dr. Paul George, at one time, this Broward city was known for its annual tomato festival. And this author used Fort Lauderdale Beach and the surrounding area for the venue for his mystery stories.
Okay, I'm waiting for some more calls. Chris and Tom, you're on for the Fort Lauderdale author.
Yes.
Which we've gotten.
No, we didn't get that
yet.
We
didn't. Oh, okay. Let's see. Who's been on longer? Tom has. Tom in Plantation.
Yeah, hi. The Fort Lauderdale author was John D. McDonald.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Very
Travis
good.
McGee.
Very good. Travis McGee, yes. Yeah.
He wrote a million of those things.
He did, yeah.
He did, and I read every one of them twice.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Yes. The Coast Guard Air Station in Miami just celebrated its 50th anniversary. It's presently located at Opa-locka Airport. Prior to moving there in the middle 60s, where was it located?
Well, Opa-locka has been a naval air station going back long before then, and there was a field up just north of the Broward-Dade County line in suburban Broward where there was a naval air station too. So I'm not sure which of those, if any of those, is what you're thinking of.
No, actually it was located on Bayshore Drive in what was the Elizabeth Varick Gym.
A station that was created by the Coast Guard in 1932 because
right.
of the problems with rum runners and all. And Prohibition, of course, was over by the fall of 1933, but that's where it began. Very good and very remote. Thank
yes.
you. Very
okay.
good. Very remote.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
And thanks
okay.
for your call. Again, our number 1-800-743-9576. We'll have Paul with another question. Before we don't have any calls right at this moment. Paul, what's this news about you retiring from Miami-Dade College?
Well, I've had a wonderful 25 years there. I'm going to be stepping down in June after Summer A, and with mixed emotions, believe me. And I just need a little more time, I think, to read, take long walks. I'll still be busy with History of Miami.
The museum.
As
the historian. And the tours.
The tours, the talks,
okay.
the writing.
And
so
the history
of Miami.
And most importantly, the history quiz.
Oh, I'll never leave the history right. quiz, and you all have been eternal friends anyway, so
okay.
that'll continue. But I do have mixed emotions. Miami-Dade's been great to me.
And another question?
Question six. Let's go to Florida historians on this. The most important battle fought in Florida in the Civil War resulted in a rousing defeat of federal forces bent on destroying a railroad network there in that vicinity of the battle. Name the battle, 1864 February.
Okay, and I have another question. It's my only other question. In the 1950s, because we were just talking about Opa-locka, Miami's Opa-locka Airport had a clandestine use in the 1950s. Other than whatever else it was used for, it had a clandestine use. What was it? What was Miami's Opa-locka Airport used as in the 1950s, clandestinely?
And we move along. Another caller. This is Rick in Miami. Rick, hi.
Hey, I believe the fourth busiest port is Port Canaveral.
No. The fourth busiest port in Miami, and I'm sorry, in Florida,
is
nautical port.
Yeah.
So you would have what? Port of Miami, and then the
Jacksonville, Tampa.
Tampa, yeah. And that, but we're looking for something else.
Okay. Can I pose a question?
No,
anyway,
no, you didn't get it. You didn't get it right. No.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Can our number 1-800-743.
Pose a question to you, so you can pose it.
No. 1-800-743-9576 is the number.
1-800-743-9576.
We have to play by the rules. Other people are waiting.
Besides the U.S., the alligator is native to only one other country. The most important battle fought in Florida in the Civil War, a rousing defeat of federal forces bent on destroying a railroad network there. And the small Broward City was known for its annual tomato festival. Joe, you have the fourth busiest nautical port in Florida. And the alligator. Okay.
Okay, we've got one, Clay in Miami. He wants to answer one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Fourth busiest port? Port of Miami.
Very good.
Very good.
Much to my surprise.
The Miami River.
Which is the second, we call it unofficially the second port of Miami, the Miami River, which is shocking to a lot of people. But boy, it is bustling.
It was shocking to me. Well, I have sort of a question just because I've heard two different stories about how the cloisters ended up getting unpacked and ending up here. So I wondered if Dr. George could tell me which of the two I've heard is correct.
Okay, and which are the two versions?
One was that the straw the stones were packed in was infected with hoof and mouth disease, and another, I think, was some customs hassle.
It's the first.
Hoof and mouth disease.
Yes.
Love it.
1953.
All right, thanks, guys. It's a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And next up, we go to James in Fort Lauderdale. Hi. James, you're up.
Hello? Yeah. Tomato Festival, Dania.
Very right. Good, James. It called itself the tomato capital of the world at that time. A little bit of hyperbole.
Yeah. Famous landmark in Broward County that the bird lady lived in, and it wasn't a residence. It was a historical landmark.
Which lady?
The bird lady.
The bird lady?
Yes.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm not
familiar. The famous landmark. Want me to tell you?
Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll have to.
In the Five Points in Wilton Manors, there was a castle gate.
Okay.
You never heard about that?
No, I'm so sorry.
The intersection was a castle. There was a castle across the 26th Street, Wilton Drive.
Gotcha. Well, that's.
And there was a lady resident. It was a landmark. It was the entrance into what was the early beginnings of. Well, Manors was going to be a different land use plan than it.
Yeah, it goes back to the boom in the 1920s. You're right, and it really didn't develop much after that. The boom collapsed in 26. That area.
Right. Wilton Drive was going to be a planned out city. You know.
Right.
That's why they had the castle there.
James, thanks for getting that question. We have to run.
Okay. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you, James.
Had to get one. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we move along to George in Hollywood. Hey, George.
Hey, thank you for taking my question. The answer is in Egypt, I believe, for the alligator.
Nope.
That's crocodile.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm wrong.
Okay, we Thanks only have a call. Couple of questions out. Joe, you need another question.
Okay, let's see. I could do 16 or I could do 12.
Okay.
Let's do number 13, the name of the only female mayor in Fort Lauderdale history. Now remember, the city was incorporated in 1911, the only female mayor in Fort Lauderdale history. I don't believe she was elected. She was appointed.
And Paul?
Yes, number 9, the name of the Al Pacino character in Scarface was inspired by whom? What person?
Okay, so we have the most important battle fought in the Civil War in Florida, resulted in a rousing defeat of federal forces bent on destroying a railroad network there. The name of the Al Pacino character in Scarface inspired by whom? Joe,
rousing defeat. I don't know if I understand that.
Besides the U.S., the alligator is native to only one other country, the only female mayor in Fort Lauderdale's history, and the clandestine use of the Opa-locka Airport in the 1950s.
And we'll go to Barry in Miami. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Barry.
Oh, hi. I wanted to answer the Fort Lauderdale. Could I answer another one instead, or I got to?
Yeah,
wait.
Go ahead, sure. Quick.
Oh, was it Al Capone?
For Scarface, well, the original Scarface in 1932 was based on Capone's life. This is the Al Pacino version in 1983.
And
so it
name.
Was somebody else. Yeah, the name of the character that was portrayed by Pacino, think about his name and then think about a famous person with that name, or at least the last name.
All right, thank you. Okay, nope. And we'll go
Wait, what are you saying?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought he said it.
He did.
He did. Oh, well, we'll tell him to call. Yeah. We'll tell him to call back. What was his name?
I don't recall.
I don't know.
Okay,
we'll go to Andrew, Port St. Lucie. Hi there.
Hey, how are you? I'm calling about the Civil War battle.
Yes.
I'm almost pretty sure, the Battle of Olustee.
Very good.
Wow.
On a cold February day. And even though I'm a Yankee, the Union was routed in that battle.
The only good regiment that stood out on the Union side was the 54th Massachusetts Heavy Blackfoot.
Boy, do you have this thing down. Whoa. Congratulations. Right.
Do you have a question for us?
Somewhat similarly related to. What northern general, or I should say what general who fought on the northern side during the Civil War, was born in Virginia and was stationed during his early career prior to the Mexican-American War in Fort Lauderdale?
Hmm.
A northern general fought in the Civil War, born in Virginia?
Yes.
Is he a name general?
He's...
That most people would recognize?
They should, yes.
It wasn't McClellan, was it?
No, it was not.
Well, there was... and you really got us going on this. It was George C. Meade who rebuilt the Cape Florida Lighthouse in the early 1850s. William T. Sherman may or may not have stayed at Fort Dallas during the Third Seminole War. Fort Lauderdale was really a no-go other than William Lauderdale at that time. I'm curious. I have really no idea other than those names.
George Henry Thomas, the Rock of Chickamauga.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting he was at Fort Lauderdale during the Second Seminole War?
He was stationed there in the 1840s, I know that.
Yeah, well, the fort was built in 1838. That's interesting. Okay, very good.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
South Florida History Quiz, Dr. Paul George, Joseph Cooper, Topical Currents, our last break, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to the South Florida History Quiz. Bonnie Berman keeping track of Dr. Paul George and Joseph Cooper's questions and your answers, 800-743-9576. The questions outstanding, the only female mayor in Fort Lauderdale's history, besides the U.S., the alligator native to only one other country. The name of Al Pacino's character based in Scarface, inspired by whom? And Paul, one more question.
Yes, number 11. Today's Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach is the third version of the Breakers Hotels. What happened to the other two?
Okay. And then Opa-locka Airport in the 50s used for clandestine reasons.
Okay, we have this alligator question. There are 8 people on the phone who want to answer this question.
Okay.
So we'll go with seniority, the one who's been on the line the longest. That's David in Marathon.
Oh.
Go ahead, David.
Originally I was going to go with Iceland, but I think I'm going to say China.
All right.
You got
Very
it.
Very good.
All right.
You have a question?
No, I'm new here in Marathon. I'm driving a cab for online on-time cab company. I just driving around, listening to the quiz, and actually had a question about Florida I knew.
I'm from Kentucky.
Is it fun to drive a cab in the Keys?
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
you want another question, Joe?
Let me take this call first. Paul in Fort Lauderdale, hi. Paul.
You don't mean Joe, do you?
Well, it's listed Paul to me. You're in Fort Lauderdale, and you're talking about the female mayor.
That's Joe.
Okay, Joe. Okay.
Yeah, and tell Paul George it's Joe Crudel.
Oh, hey, Joe.
Where are you going with that gun?
I got it. Is it Virginia Young?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
And Paul, you can't retire. You're too damn young.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, I do want an invitation to your party, though, your retirement party.
That sounds
good,
Joe.
I have
a question
for you. I can't remember what the name of it was. There was a gambling corporation in the 40s and early 50s that controlled most of the casino gambling at that time in Florida, and I cannot remember the name.
Well, there was one that controlled everything on Miami Beach until the remnants of the Capone gang muscled in the late 40s. That was the S&G Syndicate.
Right. Okay.
That may be the one you're thinking of.
That's the one I'm thinking of, but
okay.
Didn't they also run it in Hallandale? Because Hallandale had a casino in the early 50s.
Well, it's interesting. They had a couple of them in Hallandale, and Meyer Lansky, through his brother Jake, actually founded and, I believe, ran that after he went down to Cuba in the 1940s.
True.
Yeah.
Lansky. Yeah, that's true. Matter of fact, Meyer Lansky at one time was a customer of mine.
Well, which means client.
Client. Well, no, actually, I was a waiter as a diplomat. And he stayed at the Diplomat. It was 1959, if I remember correctly. It was 58. And I was a room service waiter. And I served breakfast to him and his wife, I believe.
Wow. What did he have?
I'll be honest with you. I can't remember what happened yesterday, much less what happened.
Okay. All right. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
calling.
Thank you, Joe. Good talking with you.
What color were his pajamas? Let's go to...
Joe, do you want another question? You don't have any.
Number 20, the Seminole Tribe of Florida has its roots in what native people? The Seminole Tribe of Florida belonged to what native people? And let's see, we'll go to line 12. Brian in Miami, he wants to talk about Scarface.
Yeah, this is Brian. Scarface was Tony Montana.
Right, so who was he named for?
Oh, jeez, I don't remember that.
Well,
I do have an update on the Coast Guard base at Coconut Grove.
We got it.
Yeah,
thanks. Shake a leg.
Yeah, but the Coast, yeah. But it was originally Navy. Then the Coast Guard moved in with the Navy in the late 40s. And then the Navy left them, and it was just Coast Guard from then on.
That's great stuff. Thank you.
Okay, we have Bonnie, for your question about the Opa-locka Airport. Okay. William in the Redland. Hi.
Yeah, it sounds like they covered down on the prior Coast Guard station at Dinner Key, the old Pan Am hangars.
Well, that's a little bit different, the Pan Am hangars.
Well, right next to it used to be Merrill Haven.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
The Creek became Seminole Indians. How about that?
That's it.
Very good.
Yes. Good. Okay, do you have a question for us?
What company left a rocket booster out in the Everglades, and it's in there still to this day in a silo?
Oh, they came in 62, and it's just an Aerojet.
That's correct, and it's still there, and they just finally covered it over. People were going down into the silo with rappelling gear to look at the booster, which is still there.
Well, not surprising. Very good.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, we're close to the end here, so please ask our callers to be brief.
If you're on for the alligator, we got that answer already. It's China. So if you have another answer, you can stay on. Otherwise, you might want to hang up.
Okay, let me take him off before we go to a dial tone. And Bill in Cooper City. Hi.
Is this for Bill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi. Regarding the breakers, I believe it was originally built all out of wood by Henry Flagler.
It was.
And it burned down, and he wanted to rebuild it, so he did. And I'm not quite sure how it got to the second phase, but of course it's now quite an elaborate concrete.
Right. Well, the second one was destroyed by fire, too, and then this was the final one built in the mid-1920s, and of course it's in mint condition.
Right. Exactly. I do have a question for you, if you're going to entertain it. What famous building was constructed for the victim of murder by the ambassador to the court of St. James preceding Kennedy.
Gosh, I don't know. It's a pretty complex question, actually.
It's a massive structure. It was also built by Henry Flagler, if that'll help you.
Well, where's it located?
Palm Beach.
In Palm Beach. It can't be Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago, obviously. Marjorie Merriweather Post. I don't know.
Whitehall.
Well, Henry Flagler. He built it for his third wife in 1905.
That's right. His last wife, who was his longtime girlfriend before that, was reported to have been murdered by the ambassador, who was Robert Bingham.
Well,
the strange world we live in.
Right. Well, we can't take that on here. So let's move along to Barry in Miami. Hi.
Hi. For the Opa-locka Airport, was it used by the CIA?
Yes. Do you know why?
No, I really don't know why.
It must have something to do with Cuba.
It was covert operations against Guatemala and Cuba.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Cuba. Yeah. Oh, good. I have a question. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. What area in South Miami who founded or was instrumental in founding Richmond Heights?
Richmond Heights, a guy named David Martin developed that as a black vet GI community after World War II.
And he was I thought it was Frank Martin.
It could be Frank Martin. Yeah, it could be Frank Martin. But he was a pilot, and he died in a plane crash.
Yes.
But he founded that as an African-American vet community after the war.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, we didn't answer all our questions.
We did, actually, except for...
And it's amazing they couldn't answer the Scarface thing because it... Can I give the answer out?
Sure.
For the great Joe Montana, the 49ers and Notre Dame quarterback. Because Oliver Stone, who did the movie, he idolized Joe Montana. So he named his character Tony Montana with an accent, Montana.
Montana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we had fun today. Paul, it's good to know that you're still going to be around, even though your retirement is imminent.
It is, and delighted to be here again, too. Thank you.
And I did get questions from people. Is he still going to do the tours?
Oh, absolutely. Through History Miami, I'll continue to do them until I drop.
Okay.
And you get information about that where?
HistoryMiami.org on their website. It lists the various tours that I conduct.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
And so that wraps up another history quiz. Thanks for being the officiator, Bonnie.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I learned a lot. I don't know for how long, but...
Actually, Paul, this was our 49th quiz. We have one more and we'll meet the 50th mark.
It's amazing. It really is. We began humbly with that long walk over the bridge many years ago.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the quiz. Our lead producer, Richard Ives... He was quite busy with your calls today. And as usual, it's technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, and Polly Landis is associate producer. If you didn't catch the whole quiz, or if you have disputes, we have free downloads at our website, WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page.
Or we'll give you Dr. Paul George's number to air your dispute.
His office number, anyway. Tomorrow, we'll spend time with two top administrators who deal with traffic and transit issues, both immediate and long-term in Miami-Dade. Joseph Cooper.